FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Transformers! Defenders of
truth! Robots who fight in disguise! Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 250, recorded June 10th, 2017. I had to look at it. I forgot what the day was. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
What up, what up?
He was supposed to be Sergio Garcia, but Sergio Garcia is feeling a little bit pukey today, so we're having him.
I might be older, but I'm taller, and I'm better looking.
But you're not part of the club. But anyway, Brycey.
Hey, what's happening?
And Cyburn 2, a.k.a. Michael Swift.
What's up, everybody?
All righty. I want to tell everybody that Megamus is leaving us. We're sorry to see you go for the next 5 weeks. I know that sounded final there for a second, but yeah,
he's going to be
traveling and doing his world tour for the next few weeks, and if you're lucky enough, you might see him at a show and get his autograph and tell him how pretty he is and maybe lick him on the cheek.
Just remember, you just got to look real hard for the Megamus tour. And if you do find me in one of these key locations and you do mention TFYLP, you know, you never know. You might get something. As I've said before, you know, it might be something good. It might be a slap in the face. You never know.
Yeah.
Never know. I call a beer.
Yeah, a beer might be good, never know. Too. Yeah. but, you know, let's see here. You're going to be at JoeCon next weekend.
Yes.
And then after that, doing Pete's Robot Convention in the Cincinnati area, which I'll actually be at that one.
Yes, we shall both be at that one.
Will anybody else be there from TFYLP? You know?
Be where?
At Pete's Robot Convention.
Week after next.
I think Jim said he might drive.
No, Jim. I don't think Jim will be there.
No?
Sergio might. I know that he said he's a maybe.
I think Sergio might. He may be.
But,
no.
But yeah, it's. But I'm then kind
after
of
that, I'm taking a nice little vacation and into a tropical area. And if you see me, great. If you don't, you know, whatever. And then when we come back, we got more shows. Because I'm pretty sure that.
You know what shows you're going to be about?
Sorry.
You're going to be a boot.
TFCon Canada, we will be in, what is that, 4 weeks? Is that right, Bryce?
Yeah,
five. Yeah, something around there. I come back from vacation, and then we go to Canada. So I can go up there and mess with this hoser up here.
You're eating at the walk. At least once.
God dang it.
I'd love to go up there, but
probably Pete's show will be the only other show I'll do this year, just due to lack of time off from work and funds. I know my workplace is pretty much on the lowdown for the 4th of July week because the people that we service is actually shut down for 2 weeks. So I'll likely not be working at that time, but I also won't have any income. So it'll be even harder on me then. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it. It's kind of sucks.
Well, just for our listeners, JoeCon is, I think it officially starts the 16th of June until the 18th. Then Pete's Robot Convention is the 24th of June. And then TFCon Canada, I believe, don't they officially start on Friday? That's the 14th of July to the 16th. And then the next one that we're going to will be in September 29th, 30th. Will be TFCon in Washington, D.C., just so that people get the idea of the times.
Yeah. Super Fire Tag One, he says, that would be Don, says, take plenty of Krispy Kremes with you for trade, Brett, because of TFCon. Apparently,
absolutely. We know what sells up there. Come on now.
That goes with the Timmy Hortons.
It's not just plastic crack. There's other crack involved, too. Wait a minute. Never mind. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Just go down the road towards Toronto, you'll find some.
Luna Fury is asking what cons you are going to be at any near West Virginia. I'd say the closest would be Pete's Robot Convention, which is actually in Covington, which is right across
the
river.
Just south of Cincinnati.
It's right across the river from Cincinnati. Yep. So that's probably maybe, depending on where you are in West Virginia, maybe a 2.5-3 hour drive. So.
I'm gonna say this just a little bit, and because we already did our little HasCon thing, Night Sword asked me what 2,000 table at HasCon. Yes, there's not going to be one. Yes, because of the expensive. We
can't
beating
the table.
There's no way. There's no way. I'll put it very, very simple. We did the math, and for the same tables we would get at BotCon, it would cost us $5,000. There's just no way. I'm not going to do that.
You want to actually make money, not...
Yeah. Well, I'll say it again, and I said this at the last show we did about that, is that's fine. If I want to sell a $5 toy for $2,000 to help me offset the cost, if you guys want to do that, I'll go. But no one wants to do that, of course.
No. But we also have some other sponsors. CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping. And you can also, if you're an international customer, you can also get discounted shipping with orders of $150 or more. CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service. You can find lots of great pre-orders up right now as of today. I know KFC's awesome-looking Kingzilla, which is their version of Snapdragon, went up for pre-order. And then the MP12 Plus, which is the anime colors of Masterpiece Lambor or Sideswipe, went up for pre-order today. And some lots of the most recent Takara Legends redecos, like the Target Master Double Cross. I actually figured out, I read somewhere, the reason that the Double Cross is coming with a Target Master in Japan, that Target Master is actually Blur's. Since they released the anime colors of Blur over there for the Titan Returns version, his Target Master is actually coming with Double Cross. That's kind of weird, but that's why that is. But those are up for pre-order at CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. And as we spoke earlier, Mega Toy Fan, maximize your cost while maximizing your collection.
Or if you want to maximize your cost, that's fine too. We'll take the money.
Tongue-tied here. Minimize your cost while maximizing your collection. Mega Toy Fan at the conventions that we mentioned earlier. That would be
real Joe. Quick.
Well, JoeCon, you're not actually going to be dealer there, though.
No, no. Well, I'm going to be doing a little room to room. I've got a few Joes I'm trying to just go ahead and sell. So I'll be running around. But if you know, if you recognize the gorgeous face, you'll see me. I'm not doing room to room. No dealer table, nothing like that. I'm trying to keep it low key. I'm just trying to see if I still have the love for going to a regular convention. And that's why I said that before the cast.
You're starting to feel the fire dwindle, maybe?
I really want to see if I still have that same. Back in 2000, when I went to my first BotCon, and I just that oh my god, the overwhelmness and just the love. And while I don't feel that I'll get that because this is more Joe's than Transformers, which I don't have as fondness for. But I do. I'm hoping to have some. If I have a spark of it, then I'm good to go. If not, you know, might be time to start looking at stocks and bonds and stuff like that.
Well, I'm actually going to go to Pete's Robot Convention on Saturday. I can't go the Friday night because of work. But I'm going to go up Saturday. It's only an hour and a half drive or so for me. And the thing is, it's going to be the first con in literally years that I've been to as an attendee. I'm not going as a helper of any kind. And I'm really looking forward to that because I feel like I need it. I haven't been able to enjoy. I mean, it's been fun. I can't say that I didn't enjoy going to TFCon USA's and BotCons and everything. But going as a dealer or a dealer helper, I know, Brett, you can attest, sometimes you just miss out on so much of the show.
You know, it just now clicked in my head just because of what you just said. But if the listeners want to hear this, I think it would be a great episode about what it's like going to a convention as a helper dealer as opposed to an attendee. Because a lot of people don't know what all is involved. I mean, you do miss a whole lot.
I know. I was
stuck
really
at the table for the whole show, pretty much.
Yeah.
I was really, really upset in 2015. I wanted to go to Frank Welker's panel at BotCon, and I totally missed it because I was working a table. And I don't regret going and everything, and I don't regret what I was doing. It's just that there's certain parts that I wanted to do that I wasn't able to do, and it's
I really think if the listeners want to hear that, I think we could do a good show about that. I really do. From both sides, there's pluses and minuses to all of it. There really is. You let us know. You let us know on that.
From the dealer perspective and from the attendees perspective, from the outsiders, that would be an interesting discussion. Also, Brett, there was one other thing you wanted to mention real quick before we got into everything. I'm putting you on the spot because you were the one that brought it up, and then somebody else brought it up, and then we got a tweet from Rick at Play With This Too about it. So, let me throw a batarang at you and let you mention.
Give me more.
Throw a batarang at you. What do you want me to club you over the head with?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. let me get some crayons and write it out for you.
Yeah.
Maybe some light bright.
As most of the Facebook media and everyone knows, I found out because my son told me. We lost Adam West today. And for those of you that don't know, no, he was not just a family guy, the mayor of Quahog.
He was
the 1960s Batman. Wow. You think about Adam West, Burgess Meredith, Cesar Romero, I'm actually drawing up for Robin. I knew his name. Burt Ward. They were campy, they were goofy, but
Well, that was the whole shtick of that show, is it was supposed to be very cartoony in
it,
a
it
live
was.
Action way.
If you think about it, all the way up until 1989, that's all we knew. Other than the comic books and
I have to admit, Julie Newmar helped me into puberty.
There you
the
go.
Original Catwoman. So
Yes. And he was the Grey Ghost on the Batman animated series, which, by the way, I won a trivia contest on that. It was a picture of Batman and the Grey Ghost, and I said, who voiced both of them? And no one could get it, and I got it. So, yes, he did. Adam West voiced the Grey Ghost, which was the inspiration for Bruce Wayne in the animated series to be Batman.
Eartha Kitt. Now, which one was she?
Which one?
Eartha Kitt. Don said it was Eartha Kitt passed away as well.
It was that
a while back.
No, Eartha. It was. There was two Catwomen. Batgirl was Yvonne Craig. No, Julie Newmar. Julie Newmar. And the other girl. That wasn't Kit. Her last name wasn't Kit.
Come on, Don, help us. We're not placing her.
You threw me a bone here. I'm losing. I don't think so. I thought there was only two Catwomen. Night Sword said it's the second or third Catwoman.
She was another Catwoman. So apparently there were several women that played
I
Catwoman.
I only remember the two.
I remember Julie Newmar.
That was Catwoman.
She filled that outfit out well.
Yes, she did. So, yes.
Sorry, she did.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But just want to say that I am extremely saddened. Adam West, it reminds me, and I guarantee it reminds Don how old he is.
Guaranteed. Because he probably remembers the first run shows.
Yeah, absolutely. He saw that before syndication, didn't you?
Yeah. We just keep digging it in, dude.
It is, and that's wrong. To be all honest, Adam West, great actor, did amazing things, did a huge bunch of charity work, if you don't know about that, both as Batman and even afterwards, did a ton of charity work. Great, great guy. Sad to hear him pass.
Absolutely. He was born in 1970. Wow. So just after they went off the air, which was in the 60s, early 60s. Anyway.
Shut up, Don. You're older than that.
We are here to talk about Transformers. And today,
we are.
Tonight, we have a topic that actually was suggested by Michael Swift, and everybody that was in there was like, hey, that is a great idea. So I'm going to let you throw the idea out there, and we're going to kind of spin off of it.
I thought it was, how far could your hair recede back, Michael?
This is how far it can recede back.
You know. Mine hasn't receded.
I'm sitting here and I'm looking at faces. I got you with a full head. I got Bryce with a half, and then, they're on with,
Yeah, put it this way. If I let my hair grow out, I would look like Hawk from the Legion of Doom. I've got a total horseshoe going. So, you know, I'm not proud of it. That's why I shaved my head, because, you know, I got to look somewhat presentable.
I think I picked up the genetics on my mother's side of the family, and they don't bald. But they go gray, because I'm already starting to go gray.
I hope you didn't get this from your mother. You got this from the father, didn't you, I hope? I'm just saying, because you threw it out.
She has to shave every day. I mean,
everyone has issues, and that's
Mom,
okay.
If you ever see this, I didn't mean that.
By the way, Mrs. Swift, he said it. It was him, not me. I might have implied, but he said it.
So, you were saying something?
On to the topic.
Oh, right. Okay. So,
Wait a minute. Tonight. I forgot our third sponsor, Ripped Apparel.
Yes.
You can save even more on your orders at Ripped Apparel. They've got some great Transformers tees available this week, if you're listening to it the week that we are recording. And you can save on with the coupon code TFYLPPOD. Save 10% on your order at Ripped Apparel. If you're watching the video, it's all over there on the left of the screen. Anyway, go ahead, Michael. Sorry.
Okay, so topic of discussion. What is more important to a series longevity? And this is mostly what's to a toy series longevity or a named series, but not necessarily a cartoon. But is it more important to have good media of any form or to have good toys?
Or is it equal? I think ultimately that will be my answer. I'm going to go right out and say that, but who knows? Maybe you guys can convince me. It's something that it's kind of out there. You really don't think about it until something like this comes along. But think about the birth of Transformers. Whenever Transformers first came out back in 1984, it was after Ronald Reagan had signed that bill where basically you could advertise toys through a cartoon, you know, whatever the legislation it was that allowed for cartoons to represent toys. That went through in the early 80s. We got our Voltrons and He-Man, and then eventually Transformers was part of that. And the cartoon, basically, the story of the Transformers took part in and launched this whole phenomenon that we have been fans of for the past 30 plus years. It started with the Marvel comics and then came the toys. Well, I guess the toys, which came first, comics or toys? Do you remember?
For Transformers?
Yes. I know the cartoon wasn't first. I know that.
I thought comics came out in 86.
No, they were in 84, early 84.
Yeah, I'm wanting to say the comics hit first, and then the toys. But at any rate, the media that Hasbro put out there to support this toy line really helped launch it. But it didn't hurt that the toys were pretty darn awesome themselves. They were really something that I think the media helped grow the awareness of what was already great toys. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the first 2 years of Transformers was almost entirely toys from other lines just cabbaged together. You know, Diaclone, Microman, stuff like that. Just repainted and put stickers and put in a Transformer box. They never reached the true success that Transformers had until they were repackaged as Transformers. I mean, Diaclone might have been popular, but it never gained the popularity of Transformers. Was that because it didn't have really a fiction behind it?
Well, let me just answer that one little question, in my opinion. Diaclone wasn't in U.S.
We had Diacron, didn't we?
Okay, so it was Diacron, which was a very small it was smaller than that. So you really can't say that Diaclone didn't do well in the U.S. because it was more of a Japanese market. But
I'm talking about in general. I wasn't talking about just
right.
U.S.
I don't know. I don't know what the Japanese market was in the 1980s. I mean, for all I know, they were, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. I can tell you that I believe that the only reason that the Transformers took off as well as they did was because of the marketing and because of the cartoon and because of the comics. And I'll go as far as to say, I do have one little added to that that a lot of people are going to be upset about is I'm going to compare it to GoBots.
Well, GoBots Don did.
GoBots had superior engineering. They were better. They had more diecasts. They were more complex. They were better built. But they had a really cheesy cartoon. They had no background to them. Transformers did.
Well, GoBots
was... As far as the 80s go, that's my point right there.
Well, the G1 cartoon was just as cheesy in lots of ways.
Yeah, but you had the tech specs. You had relationships. You had, if you really look at the GoBots cartoon, and it's very campy. It's very one dimensional. Let's get this one point across. Don't smoke or don't do this or whatever, and that's it. And that's my opinion. Because if you look at the toys of the GoBots were superior at the beginning of the 80s than Transformers.
Maybe just the mini-bots. The cars, no. Mini-bots, yeah. They're the same size class.
Well, you got to look at the price points, too. GoBots were price point lower because of they were trying to come in cheaper. So they did the main characters, Leader One, in what you would do as, I don't have one here, a mini-bot. It's very close to a mini-bot scale. So the price points were different. But if you look at Bumblebee, Brawn, Huffer, and all that, and you look at Leader One, this is far superior than they were. What were the ones called? Not the super GoBots. They were good too. It's just, but they had no backing. They had no backing like Hasbro put the backing for the show and everything else. And I think that leads a lot to it.
Well, can a toy line ultimately succeed with no backing? I mean, if let's say we've already established Transformers as toys were really awesome. They were great toys. Lots of people were talking about them simply for that fact. I even remember my parents back in the day when I was young. They even marveled that these were amazing things. You have a semi truck that turned into a robot that could fight. And you have this a gun that could turn into a robot that can fight. It was unheard of to them. It was a concept unheard of. You know, before it was either an action figure, which essentially was a doll. Let's be honest here. And you might have had some play sets and things like that. But then Transformers came along and it really changed the game. And I'm not saying that let's just completely forget about Diachrone or Microman or anything like that. But let's be honest, it just didn't catch the tread that Transformers got. But do you think Transformers would have ever reached the popularity had it not been for the comics or the cartoon?
No.
No. It definitely not, because if you look at every... You'd be hard-pressed to find a G1 collector that doesn't talk about at least the show or the comics as their source of, as what made them love the series. I've never really ran into anyone who said, I really love G1 figures. I never really, I don't really care for the show. I never read the comics, I've never heard that happen.
Right. They're usually hand in hand.
Yeah. Exactly. Nine Swords actually points out, though, he says, G.I. Joe without is failing without media.
I'm going to get to G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Because I have a little, because my topic was going to be, think about all the shows and the toy lines from the 80s, and which did really well and which are still talked about today.
Well,
and yes. You talk about like Thundercats, He-Man, Mask, and there's those people out there, and there's Facebook groups and everything. But if you really think about the two biggest brands out there that are always talked about and maybe I'm boasting a little bit, but it's Transformers and G.I. Joe. And both of them had good marketing in comics, in the show, in the toy. More so than even Ghostbusters. Now, the big thing about Ghostbusters was is they had a huge spike because of the movies. The
movies, yeah.
Exactly. So they went different. Now, G.I. Joe did the movies and, you know, and we see what's happening with the Transformers. Now, granted, as much as we may like or dislike the Transformers movies, they have perpetuated and kept it going to where we're at now. You and I both know, all of us know, we wouldn't have Masterpiece This or That if it wasn't for the movies.
We wouldn't have.
We just wouldn't.
Half of what we have right now.
I dare say a third. The media perpetuated that. So I stand solid that, yes, you need a good, strong toy, but the media is just as important.
Well, I point to there's been examples in Transformers of certain lines actually. They did well, generally, but they never had any true media behind them, mass market media. And, you know, I'm not saying no media because, I mean, if you had Biles on the box, that counts as media. Or a little comic book that comes with the toy, that counts as media. But what I'm talking about here is mass market media. We're talking comic books, cartoons, live action TV shows or movies. And there's certain lines in Transformers. I know one was mentioned earlier, Power Core Combiners, had no fiction whatsoever behind it outside of the box fictions, but had no mass media fiction behind it. The line didn't do so hot. But yet you have Alternators. There was no mass market media behind it either. So
Alternators is the one I was going to bring up. Because to me, Alternators is the case of a good toy line. Like, Alternators were, at the time, fantastic. And
they still are, really.
They are. I mean, the Masterpiece outshine them now. If you go back and mess with them, the engineering on them is not as spectacular as it was for the time. Mm-hmm. But look how long that line actually lasted. Didn't actually last very long, even though they were spectacular toys. And
you talking about Alternators?
Yeah.
Well, you got also put into the effect of the Binaltech also, because that was a continuation also.
Well, so
the only thing you're talking about is different areas and price points on those two.
Yeah.
Alternators and Binaltech. So that was the same series. They just expanded upon the characters through two badges.
Now, and I suppose in Japan. Oh, sorry, Bryce. What were you saying?
What'd you
say? There wasn't enough molds to keep it going. They had like 13 molds. And
right, but if you look at it, a lot of the Binaltech ones were recolors, redecos, and they made different characters to expand the line. That was my point. And how did they subsidize it? They made it more diecast. So you had more diecast with the Binaltechs than you did the Alternators. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, so that's the line I was going to bring up as, you know, a prime example to me of a good toy line that couldn't survive because of the lack of media. It got some media in Japan, obviously. It eventually became, I think they had some comics, and they had a manga, and then they had Kiss players.
No.
We got to talk about it because it is mass media.
I'm going to nip this right real quick as soon as he's done. But go ahead.
But yeah, it's a prime example of a great line that couldn't carry itself because it didn't have any media to propel it.
Why did you think it was a good line?
Why did I think it was a good line?
I asked you first.
That's the question you asked?
I did. Twice now.
It had, you had realistic cars.
Uh-huh.
You had
there you go.
Fairly detailed, an articulated robot mode.
There you go.
And just, kind of complex transformations.
Yes, I freaking hated those. They were harder than hell to transform. And I seriously believe that hindered them being anything good. I really do. I think they were so complex that people freaking hated them because of that. I don't think the media had anything to do with it. I think they were good. They were articulate. They had great alternator, alternate modes.
Just say alt.
Alt modes. But they were complex as hell. I about threw one. Grimlock. Holy crap.
Just take the doors off. It was so easy.
You had to take it apart. It was a piece of crap.
I think I transformed it once without losing the doors.
Look good. You had it in alt mode. Look good. Pain in the ass.
I think the only one of those that was really a pain in the ass for me, for alternators.
Prime was.
Yeah, Prime was kind of a pain in the ass.
God dang it, those damn doors. Flip over, fall off. God dang it. Pissed me off. It's not a parts former. And what did you do? You turned it back around, put it back, put the doors on, tried it again. They flipped right off again. God dang it.
Grimlock was the only one I lost the doors on.
I am so glad you brought this up, Michael. Yes, I love that.
Well, I mean, the alternators, though, I mean, I think we can consensusly agree, if that's a word, consensusly, that they were generally great toys. And for at least a year or two, they were rather successful. You know, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of molds. So, you know, they survived with just being generally good toys, good-looking toys, and had very few molds with little to no mass market.
I will go on record as saying, in anyone's collection, if you still have alternators, I guarantee that there's more alternators that have never been transformed more than once than any other toy you have in your collection.
What about Revenge of the Fallen?
Well, someone else brought that up. We'll get to that later. But I still believe those alternators, I swear, I don't know how many of them I decided. I almost threw them across the room. And I know I'm not the only one.
I transformed mine at least 20, 30 times before I sold them.
Oh, shut up. You're Canadian. Doesn't count. Yeah,
I transformed mine a lot.
That's like a third? Come on. That's like 75%.
See, that was a good toy. I love that toy. He had lots and lots of kibble.
There were exceptions. It's good. There were exceptions.
It was crap to get back.
But I mean, think about the ones we talked about. You know, the Wheeljack Grimlock mold, horrible. The Prime Nemesis Prime mold, horrible. Now, Hot Rod, not so bad. Pretty easy to transform.
Well, the issue I had with Grimlock, the Grimlock Wheeljack mold, is the roof scratches.
The doors always fell off. Both of them.
But anyway, transforming his arms back underneath the hood sucked.
Yes. So we'll all agree.
This isn't a discussion about alternators per se, but it is an example of a reasonably successful line that had no mass media market push. And yes, there was Kiss Play and everything, but that was Japan. We're talking about worldwide here. I mean, let's look at another line that reasonably was successful, that didn't really have a mass media market push until later on. But the early versions didn't. The classics line. Up until, I guess, whenever it started becoming Generations, really had no mass media market push.
Well, let me say this, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to go next on the next one, only to do both sides. It just so happens I have this here for somebody, but that's beside the point.
Yes.
Yes, and this is the Hankai version. It doesn't matter. It's still the same mold. The classic version... the classics line, I believe, stood on their own. And it wasn't by media. It wasn't by anything else. It was by what they actually represented and of the toy.
You can't deny that they weren't at one time the hot toy.
They were. And they were for a long time. And as a matter of fact, coming from a toy dealer point of view, the classic sold just as well as a masterpiece because they were two different price points. And you could get just as articulate and articulating and...
Articulation.
That's a word.
I was trying to say not a word.
Representation, articulating representation. Anyway, you could get one of these cheaper than you could an MP10, and you were just as satisfied based upon what you wanted to do. So, yes, 100%. I think the Classics line stood on its own.
Classics line I only bought for clearance, and I just never had the love for it.
But generally, though...
I bought them all, but that was just because they were cheap.
Generally, though, I mean, there were times when they were so hot, certain molds were going for...
Ultra Magnus.
Four or five times what they were retailing for.
Yeah, the Ultra Magnus Skywarp set got poached and resold.
Nemesis or the Black Prime. I mean, remember when Sideswipe and Sunstreaker first came out?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. People were paying... Secondary market was two to three times as much.
Yeah. I remember seeing them as high sealed, $80 and $90.
Right. So you're talking about a $15 toy?
Yeah.
Hold on, guys. Brycey, did you say that the
yes.
Sunstreaker and...
Terrible.
Oh, thank goodness. Someone finally agrees with me.
Where did you write that at?
The universe as a whole was garbage.
Where did you write that at?
Everywhere.
What?
What's that?
I hated the universe line. Prowl was like an anorexic crackhead. Sunstreaker's hood was not on his feet.
Yeah, they... I was just happy to hear that.
Better in that mistransformed Hasbro picture than he did in the real one.
We've had discussions of this mold in the past, and I was adamant that it was terrible, and no one agreed with me.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's super either.
It was the best.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I have to admit.
Oh, my God. You had to run out and try and find Sideswipe, and then when you got it, oh, my God, I got to find Sunstreaker. And
Sunstreaker came out first, and I only bought... Yeah, it came out first.
Sunstreaker was first.
Sunstreaker was first, and then you had to find Sideswipe. That's it.
I only bought Sideswipe because I had already made the mistake of buying Sunstreaker.
But do you still have them?
It's like, I got the one.
Do you still have them?
I gave them away, actually.
I do still have them. Tried to sell them. No one wants them anymore.
Now, granted, I said this was a good line on its own, and it was for the time. And it stood the test of times at that time. But yeah, now they're not anything. You're right.
Can I make an argument against it, though?
You most certainly can. I'll just mute your mic. Go ahead.
Did it not stand on the back of G1?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. But so does Masterpiece.
It did, but it came so long after the fact, though, it could be argued that it had no media push behind it. It had no current media push behind it.
Sure, but yes. I
would agree with that.
IDW's push was always
that
in
was
it.
Afterwards. That's after they already launched the toys.
No, they were in there with the stations or whatever.
The first couple waves.
You're going to tell me that IDW Comics is a good media to push to sell toys?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't say it was good. Now. I said it was current.
All you got to do is look at Combiner Wars and Titan Returns. That is the media push behind it.
I'm still going to go by my stance that the Classic stood by its own for its time. Has that time passed? Yes. But at the time, that was it. That was pardon my language, that was the shit. That's what you wanted. And it wasn't because of the comics. It was because of the toys. They were more articulate, and they were of G1 representation. So if you want to say a throwback to the G1, yeah, that type of media, yeah, it kind of lent back to that. But I still think it held its own.
Well, I simply brought that up because... I brought that up because it would, because you can't say that G1 or that the Masterpiece line is not standing, you know, is not what it is because of solid media, right? No one's buying him. This guy, Masterpiece Megatron.
Based on any current media.
But they're buying this because G1 happened.
They're buying that based on nostalgia.
Yes. That's my point, right? G1 happened. It was fairly good, and it was very influential to the series. Now, there are some collectors now that are buying it because it's a great, just because it's a complex toy. But it's got media to stand on. And so that was my argument with Classics. Is to me, Classics stood on the back of G1, and it didn't have to have any media currently to keep it alive because it was nostalgia that was keeping it alive, right? Now, if G1 didn't have any nostalgia, no one would buy into it. Like, if they started... What's that?
No one would buy into any of this. Why do you think they reuse the same names? Well, yeah. It's for those that remember the nostalgia. Why do you think he's called Prime? Why do you think the new movie he's called Prime?
Well, he wouldn't be if Michael Bay could get away with it.
Oh, shut up! Yeah. And it's because that's what I mean. Nostalgia does sell. So yes, yeah, I don't think that's a major selling point or a major, you know, why something doesn't work. And I'll give you a perfect example. My next topic, what I want to talk about, is Cybertron.
I don't care what you want to talk about.
Cybertron is great. Those toys were fantastic. Mm-hmm. The transformation was great. Yeah, the toys were good. And they still sell for good money. That people still want them.
I would also argue that the Energon toys, the Decepticons... The Decepticons were good in Energon. I like the Decepticons. The Autobots suffered from the pants shirt syndrome, and that's why they suffered.
It really did. But I think if you're going to look at a toy line that stood on its own, in my opinion, Cybertron stood on its own.
Despite its media. I'll give you that one. I can see that.
It had rather weak media.
It did, but it still did well.
It wasn't Energon bad, but
now is it about the only one I could think of? Yeah, but I mean, yeah. It still won.
Well, yeah. Armada, the cartoon, you find a lot of people that hate on it and a lot of people that love on it. To me, I hated it. It was just I liked the toys, but it was Pokemon.
It's Armada.
Had a lot of problems.
Armada, you have to. Here's the problem with Armada, and anyone who likes Armada or gives it a little bit of credit, because I give it a little bit of credit, you have to. It's always comes with the asterisk. You have to bear through the first 20 episodes, because that's when it's the collectathon. It actually gets fairly decent at the end.
I hate to tell you, but I make it past 10, so.
I didn't
invest
four.
It was about 10 or 15. I
couldn't do it. And it was. It was the Power Rangers, Pokemon. It reminded me of Captain Planet with the kids. And I didn't like it. But
Sat through all of Energon, but I couldn't do Armada.
Yeah, Armada and Energon just didn't do it for me. Now,
how'd you sit through all of Energon? Holy cow!
Now, listen, here's the thing: the main reason I picked Cybertron,
Armada, no, and I had nothing no, else
no,
to
no, watch. No, no, well, no, no, no. Energon's the first series ever created.
It's twofold. One, I never saw the show. Never saw it.
What was
and
it?
I looked at the Cybertron? Toys. Never saw Cybertron. I looked at the toys and I liked them and. When I would get them in collections, I would transform them. I'm like, these are pretty slick. And I also noticed that out of Armada, Energon, and Cybertron, Cybertron are the only ones that people want. Cybertron is the only one that people buy. So I'm looking at it from a different point of view.
I know. Micron Detsu is still – I mean, it almost won the Masterpiece Prime competition. It was like in third. That's Armada Prime.
Oh, when we got Star Saber and Zed?
Yeah.
They made the right choice.
Yeah, I think they did too. I would have bought a Super Fire Convoy, or not a Super Fire, but the Micron Convoy just to burn it. I will say it again. I love the cab, the little cab prime.
Are you talking about where it transformed the pants?
I hated that thing. The auto transformation. No, the auto transformation part of it was so flipping aggravating. I mean, it's like you took a great toy and then threw all this mechanized crap into it, and it became a bad toy.
Hey, Bryce, that's when you line it up and you go ahead and you aim, you see how many pieces you can put it into.
Set it up on a tree and use a bow and arrow on the damn thing.
Yeah.
See how many times you can pin it to it.
That thing was horrible. And even when I saw that because I remember in the stores, that package was so freaking big, and it came with a little Micron. Is that what they're called? Micron?
Minicon in America, Minicon. But yeah, Micron.
The little Minicon, and it had the trailer, and I remember getting one, and by the way, I got it at Goodwill for like reduced price, open, and I was like, let's see what this is. And you laid it down, and you hit the little, it was like infrared, wasn't it? Or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Out of the gun or something.
Oh, it did was lift up, and it made a thing of pants. I was like,
the hell?
I picked it up, put it back in the box, and I sold it. And got rid of it. Go away.
Sorry. When I was doing customs full time, somebody wanted that Astro Train, like an Astro Train done out of Jetfire, and that into a Motormaster. And I got it, and I pushed the button once. I took all the pins out of the damn thing, and it never transformed again until I shipped it. Painted it. Put it back together and shipped it back to him.
Like, you went like this. Go.
And take it.
Exactly.
Like, it looked cool after it was purple and gray and stuff, but it was a terrible, terrible, terrible toy. And it has GPS.
Yeah, it does.
On the shoulders.
Oh, which one? The
Armada Prime.
Armada yeah. Prime. All of its joints are made out of gold plastic in its arms.
Really? You know, now, what was yeah. the one that did they do a repaint of that? Like a Costco or something?
Yeah,
that was
something.
Well, they so as with all Japanese series,
gotta repaint.
There's a point in the series. Well, no, it's the Super Saiyan syndrome. There's
oh,
a
yeah.
point in the series where they all change color, and so he became Power Link's Prime, and he was blue, or he inverted basically. He was more blue than he was red.
Oh yeah, it was like a grit. With more gray too, right?
Yeah.
And that was that the Corona spark plug?
Yeah.
That one with that one?
The gold one.
The gold one? That was Corona spark plug.
I think so.
I mean, let's name it after a beer. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, it was named after an astronomical phenomenon.
Oh, shut up!
Too late. Beer already claimed it.
That's right.
Corona's crown.
I honestly didn't know. I didn't keep it long enough to know that it had GPS. I got rid of it really
well.
Very,
at the
very,
time
very...
we at the time we had it, we didn't know it had GPS. Only years later do we know now know that it has.
Now, GPS. What year was that?
2000, I believe.
2000.
So all the way up to 2000.
No, it's 2002. It's 2002. Yeah.
So they had that from the mid 90s, all
yeah,
the way up to 2000.
Yeah, they
2007, I think, still.
What was it? The Micromaster Star Wars Superior crossovers.
Man. Well, what was didn't they do was it Randy? Beast Wars 2?
Well, Randy was, that was in 90 in the 90s. That was like 97.
That little
yeah, but that's,
bastard
okay.
down there. The gold Superion.
Yeah. Randy
he's
was
like
the
hanging on by one peg now.
The golden Jeez. Repaint or the golden molded what was his name?
William Falcon. Yeah, that was Randy.
Randy. That's what I was thinking of, but that didn't come until the 90s. There was still stuff after that still had GPS? Wow.
2007, I think, was the last one.
Do you remember the Han Solo and Chewbacca that transformed into the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
Good luck finding a Chewbacca that's not absolute destroyed, because he has GPS.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even mess with those because I thought they were so stupid.
His GPS was so bad that when he was being opened by people, he was falling apart.
Wow.
And that came out in what, 2000 what?
I can't quite remember, but that was...
2007.
That was the movie.
Holy crap, Hasbro. I mean, 10 plus years and you couldn't get this crap right? Holy crap.
I'm still worried every time something looks kind of metallic. Like, scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, yeah. I have to agree.
You think they would have got that right?
Well, let's get back on track here. Yeah.
Are you afraid of him? I hope not. Yes.
I'm afraid that he's going to deteriorate one day.
That's not gold plastic syndrome. That's paint.
On some of these joints, maybe. So maybe it's made all joints. If we're lucky, they made all the joints in blue plastic and then painted them.
Just grab a razor blade and scrape it over.
Get a razor blade and start shaving. We'll see.
I'm not gonna
do it for science. Do it. Posterity.
Screw science.
Now, let's get back on track here, guys. Now, let's talk about lines that had somewhat decent toys, but had a failing media behind it. Do you have any that really stands out to you that are Transformers?
What about R.I.D.?
I like the R.I.D. cartoon. I mean, it was cheesy, but it was still cool.
I think it's just the opposite. I think the show was better than the toys.
No.
Well, I mean, I guess if you, depending on which toy you're talking about.
Cyber.
Well, and actually, make sure I got it right. Night Sword even said it. What about the translucent plastic? And Michael, I remember you many times talking about that. You hate translucent plastic. And there was a lot of it in R.I.D. There he goes. Pulling out the tissues.
He's pulling something out.
Pulling out the tissues. Yep, there you go.
Oh, I wonder where you got those.
No matter, afraid to transform them? Mine are down here.
I am afraid to transform them, actually.
Mine are down here. Transform many times.
I transformed those very once 3 or 4 times, Michael. They're fine.
Yeah, they...
I do hate the translucent plastic. I'll give you that, because I do have, like, my powered up, or I can't remember what it's called. The powered up Prowl that I have, his door doesn't hold on right because there's a crack in the ball joint. And so it just sort of falls off all the time. So, yeah, but still, I would say that at the time, I mean, those are sort of just the brittle nature of the plastic that came into play later. At the time, a lot of those new molds were, like, fantastic. I mean, if you look at Fire Convoy or Optimus Prime in that line, he's an amazing figure still. Because, I mean, even then, you can't take into the fact. I mean, at the time, we were really happy about rubber tires coming back. I absolutely hate that they have rubber tires now, especially since they all started splitting and falling off.
Especially Prime and Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
Yes, they wrapped them around and glued them.
Try and find some.
But I would give you that argument with
Vaseline on them and crap just to keep them from splitting.
I'll give you that argument with things like the what were they called? The Spy Changers or the Combaticons that were in that. These are, I mean, for a kid like me, at the time, they aren't particularly fantastic toys compared to, like, Sideburn and all the others. They were like these little dumpy looking Hot Wheel things, but
you're talking about the simplistic Spy Changers.
I wanted to collect all of them because they were characters in the show.
Well, do you think you had a little bit of Pokemon in that?
Not at that time, no.
See, I looked at that and I thought, because I saw a lot of people collecting those, and I thought, well, why? I mean, they go for, on the secondary market, $1, $2. Yeah. They're cheap. They're easy to collect. And you have the possibility, until we found out there was many, many more, of collecting them all, which is kind of like the Pokemon thing. They're cheap. They're easy. And you can collect them all until you find out there's variations out the ass.
Kind of like your mom.
No, see, because I'm not, like, I don't really care about, like, the G2 versions, right?
Right, but I'm saying as a collector, I mean,
yeah,
you got to go past yourself. Can you see people doing that?
I mean, yeah, I guess there always is some of that aspect. I think any small Transformer lends to that. Because if you look at Minicons.
There's a whole bunch of Minicons. There's actually Facebook Minicons. There's cassettes and cassette Facebook pages. So I agree with you on that. They're cheaper, quote unquote, and easier to display.
American Minibots are not cheap, though.
Right, but you know what I'm saying. You start out with this, and then that's when you find out, holy crap, there's a lot more. And you know as well as I do, when you start talking about the Estrella and all the other Brazilian and all the foreign ones, I mean, not only are they expensive, try and find them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know people have been collecting them for 20 years, and they're still looking.
Like, right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you start getting into niches.
I'm bad enough with completion on Japanese crap. I don't want something that's like there's one out there.
Well, I tried dipping into fight my friends for the mini bot and all that, and I
bowed out.
Well, if I come across them, great. I'm not going to go like digging because it takes a while to find stuff, and I'm always seeing more ones I didn't know about. And I kind of think that's what I'm thinking about with you also. You're talking about, your spy changers, this, that, and the other. And there was a lot of them. There was a whole lot of them. And then they did didn't they do Japanese exclusives? Didn't they do a Japanese convention exclusive that was a spy changer?
Probably.
I can't remember what it is right off the top of my head.
There was like two or three of them. Because I remember reading up on them. It was the same time.
There's like a super rare, like Wars or something like that.
Yeah, they did the little pullback, the Bakkan Japan 2000. They did the tank. They did the little Prime.
Oh, those are the bot shots.
Yeah, they did a spy changer too, I thought. That was pretty hard to find. So you're talking about pretty rare stuff. $1 or $2 toys.
So,
well, if there's also the unreleased ones too. Like, you've got a couple. I've got one.
I actually have them all, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. Well,
there's
rub it in.
There's. I didn't.
You've also got the G2 Stunicons and Protectobots too. I hate
it. It doesn't matter.
First side changer collecting guy sitting out there that's like, screw you, Megabus.
Like, damn it. No, but still. My point being is that there's always, it just seems like in each one of these little niches, everything, there's always a holy grail. So there's always that, and you get into it and you don't even know about it. And I think maybe that's why a lot of these groups
get sold. Convoy.
You know what I mean? You know, like the cassette groups and the mini bot groups and all that. But we're kind of getting off the topic of.
Yeah, so go ahead. If you want to get back to Duran's question, and someone out there is going to hate me for this, but I'm going to make the argument. If there was a series that where a good toy line was sort of
hindered,
cast aside by its bad media, this one is a little bit of a stretch because it wasn't extremely bad, but I'm going to say Transformers Prime. Because I thought that the toys were actually not bad. Like, that was in that era of simplification where we saw that downsizing and an up, you know, and an increase in price, downsizing toys. But a lot of them were actually not terrible. Like, that Ratchet's a fun mold. The Optimus isn't that bad. You know, the twin Jet Brothers, they're great molds.
Jetstorm and Jetfire.
I don't think that was animated.
That was
animated.
Oh, that's right.
My question to you is...
Dreadwing and...
Thunderwing.
Yeah, Dreadwing. Yeah.
Skyquake.
Do you think that their popularity would have been as big had they not rode right off of animated?
No.
I don't think so. I think animated kind of bridged the gap. Animated was a really, really good...
Animated show,
in my opinion, where they took something, they simplified it, but they made it more show accurate. and people just dove into it. And I think Prime came right after that, and they just kind of latched onto it. I think Prime is a direct result from animated.
I dig. I'm like Michael. I really dig the Prime toys. I thought they were some great. There was some great stuff there, and the first season of Transformers Prime, I really, really loved. Season two, it kind of lost its way, in my opinion, and then they totally jumped the shark with Beast Hunters.
Every time they had to kill a character off because their voice actor was too expensive, like
the price goes up, kill it.
Yeah,
they killed a lot of. Go ahead.
Prime I found was more wasted potential. They're like, here's a really good storyline. No.
Yeah.
We got one. No. Oh, look. No. That was like the whole show. Every time there was something good in it, they were like, no, it's done this episode. We got something else here.
It had the ooh shiny syndrome. It's like they'd set you up, like Bryce is saying, that they'd set you up for something. And then you'd get distracted by something else, and you never really went back and touched on other things.
Well, they did the whole like Orion Pax thing, and he was like friends with Megatron for about 15 seconds, and then it went back to normal. Come on.
Well, the Arachnid thing too is like, you know, they was building her up for. As a really great character, you know, a great nemesis, and then all of a sudden, what happened to Brett?
And then he just turned his camera off.
Oh,
hit a scratch.
But Arachnid was being set up as a really great character, and then all of a sudden, oh, let's put her in stasis for three quarters of the damn series. Well, you know,
they did the same thing with Breakdown.
Yeah.
They were setting him up as like a conflicted, maybe almost Dinobot type, and they brought the idea back with Dreadwing, but you never really got a resolution with Breakdown. Suddenly, Breakdown was just dead.
And then you had Zombie Breakdown.
Yeah. Well, and then so as the series sort of devolved in like these plot points that never came to fruition. Like, because I started Prime off thinking, wow, this is, and we were doing the podcast at this time. We were doing, you know, we were talking about the episode every week it came out. And it started out and we were all loving the show. And then as it went on, it's like, what a waste of time. This is just, they just keep throwing storylines out there and then acting like they never happened or canceling them before they ever became interesting. And so as it went on, like I had a Prime collection, I still do, but I didn't care to collect anymore. Like it started to like I didn't have this character and this character, and at one time I was like I have to get them, but then as the show kept going, and
you lost more interest in it because of the show.
Yeah, I lost more and more interest. I didn't want the toys anymore.
Well, I really enjoyed the toys, like I said earlier, there was some really great points in there. I didn't mind the simplification part of it. They had the look, they had the articulation for the most part. They were generally great toys. And like I said, I thought I was really on board for the first season of Prime. And second season, I started out excited, but that excitement graph just started slowly on a decline, you know. But let's go to animated. Brett brought that up earlier. I thought animated was a fantastic cartoon. I loved it. The toys were great for what they were. Now, that being said, I love animated. The toys are great. But I don't want any of those because, quite simply, they were just so different from what any other Transformer line has that you put them on in a display, they look out of place. They don't look. They almost look preschool. They need their own display. Yeah, they need their own display aside from your regular collection.
Well, and
because they just don't look right.
Yeah, I would argue that's because they did a fantastic job capturing the animation.
Oh, they did. They did. Phenomenal.
But, like you're saying, and there's a lot of people who animated Animated is one of those things where a lot of people have a hard time getting past the look of it, and the toys as well. Like it looks like the animation. Some people hate the animation, but anyone who gives it the chance and gives it a chance and watches it, it's a fantastic show. Like it was the second coming of Beast Wars, basically. And I mean, it's like right here. Like Beast Wars is here for me. Animated is right here. Mm. And yeah, it was. I don't think those toys. If you would cut away animated entirely, those toys wouldn't have sold. Not at all. They were far too
You're
different
half
from
off screen, by the way.
Yeah, I.
Whenever Brett logged off, your screen like scrunched over. We're just looking at your ear.
So I got to be over here.
Now we're looking at your other ear.
Right here.
There you go. Right there.
But yeah. So I mean, if they would have released that line without the show, I don't think anything would have came of it. But because the show was so fantastic in its writing, it's sold that line. Like animated is, when you talk about Transformers series now, it's G1, Beast Wars, the movies, and then animated is probably in that mention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those cases, and I would argue even Beast Wars to that matter. There's a lot of people who just don't like the Beast Wars toys. And they're
I
not
did at first.
Yeah, they're not exactly the greatest toys in the world. I'm gonna admit that. You look at Cheetor, that chunky looking cheetah thing. Because
pregnant belly on his chin.
Yeah. Under there. But because of the show being so good, it's what has kept that line so sought after.
Yeah, I have to. Well, go ahead, Bryce. I know.
The toys on their own, I'm not a huge Beast Wars fan. Most people know that, but the show was well written. The characters were fleshed out. So,
it sells
the line. Kind of like you were saying with animated, it sells the line.
Well, my thing with animated was, and here's an example. This really happened. I had an acquaintance that knew I was a Transformer fan, and I was living in a different part of the state at the time, and he came over to visit me one day, and he knew I was a Transformers collector and wanted to see my collection. And I didn't have my glass cases at the time, but I had several bookcases set up, and I had like all the Headmasters, and a lot of the, you know, like original G1, a lot of reissues, and then I had a lot of classics and stuff. And he was looking at my collection, and he's like, "Man, these things are great." And then he looked down to my animated shelf, and he's like, "And I swear to God, these were his exact words. What the hell are those?" Like that. And I said, "Oh, those are Transformers animated." And he's like, "They look like kiddie toys." And whenever he said that, I mean, it killed me a little bit inside, because I'm like, but they're great toys, you know. But
they're great toys, and it's a great show. It's
yeah, like, and that's no, that's no. what oh, that's what I thought.
Oh, my pride.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it did. It hurt my pride a little bit. But then whenever he said that, I felt that inside. But my mind was thinking, you're right. They looked so out of place on my display. And it was not long after that they were gone. They were bye-bye.
Yeah,
so you cared what some acquaintance thought.
They were fun. That's the only reason I liked them.
Well, I didn't necessarily.
The animated toys, they were fun. They were fun to transform.
They were.
They were fun to play with.
Well, it was after, like, almost a complete decade of gimmick toys.
Yeah. Right.
Suddenly, toys were just Transformers again.
They're fun. The last toys we got with like that were, guess what?
Well, I want to to counterpoint what Bryce has said. You know, it's like, and what Night Sword said. Well, they are all kiddie toys.
Yes.
But the thing is the aesthetic on them does look kind of play school. You have to admit they have that very bulky, rounded. They have that bulky, rounded pastel color to them. And, you know, whereas most Transformers have the jagged, hard edges, they look, you know, they don't look as preschool, I think, is a problem, is a thing that
I would just and shove the DVD in his face and told him to shut up. Come back after you watch this.
He didn't mean it in a mean way, but the thing is, is whenever he said that, I didn't sell the toys because I was worried what he thought. It just fortified what I felt deep inside. I liked the toys, but overall, the way they looked, I didn't care for it. I didn't care for it at all.
You gave in to peer pressure. That's what it was.
Yeah. Going with that.
But ain't it simple?
I didn't.
They were the last new toys to go out of my collection. And they'll be the first to come back if I ever expand.
So
I don't know.
So
I just don't have room to display them. And
I was never a big Prime or animated collector, but I really, really can see the appeal for them. They were very show accurate, and I mean, even though they were more kiddie based, and well, they were more simplistic. I think that they're good toys. They really are. I think that they hold their own. They did have a good show, so the media kind of helps. But I would say, if I had to categorize that, I would say that animated, especially, and even Prime to some extent, not that Beast Hunters crap, they hold their own by the toys. I believe that. I think they hold their own without the media. That's my opinion.
You know, I know that most people don't know this person, but he's a listener and a friend of mine. Scott, I just saw your picture with you making the word poop in that store. I know you're listening. So I'm going to give you kudos on air for spelling out the word poop in a store with letters. So
first of all, that he's able to spell poop.
Yeah.
Is good.
So I want to bring up the most recent example of a show not selling toys, or of why I think media is maybe more important than toys being great, and that is Transformers, the new RID, the new RID. The current line, while still on the shelves, I can't tell you if they're good, to be perfectly honest with you, because I watched about 6 episodes of it, and I was like, nope, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
It was like Monster of the Week, like really shallow storytelling, and I dropped out. And I can't say that it's gotten better. I mean, I haven't watched it since the like first 6 episodes.
I watched a few episodes, like you did. I watched maybe 4 or 5 episodes, and I'm like, this is just not entertaining at all. And then I caught a few episodes of season 2 on, I'm wanting to say, Netflix, just to see if it's gotten any better, and it was pretty much more of the same. So I would say that I'm not expecting it to change.
I'm just wondering why it hasn't died yet.
Yeah.
And Night Sword, in the chat has wanted us to mention Beast Machines for the entire episode.
We're dancing around the topic.
So I'm going to mention Beast Machines. Beast Machines, despite I have a love for Beast Machines toys that is built on ice. So they're bad toys.
Sorry. Brett, do you need some water?
But I love those toys, ironically, so I'm gonna put that as a caveat. Bad toy line. But it was also a terrible show. And it didn't sell.
The seeds of the future lie buried in the past.
It just did nothing to sell toys.
Forget about this. Go to the past.
Now, I don't know if it had been good, if Beast Machines toys would be more sought after. They're still horrible. But
there were some gems.
You have to wonder, right?
That's a gem in some people's eyes.
So
what's a gem?
It's either a gem or a gem black.
Both of you, shut up. So there's some good ones in there, but I mean, Savage was a good toy.
Savage Noble was good. I like Savage.
That was a good toy.
Night Slash Cheetor is not bad.
Night Slash
Cheetor. I also, despite the vacuum metal gimmicks,
that's another one where the gimmicks, I think, overshadowed the toy a little.
Despite the vacuum metal chrome, my favorite toy from the whole Beast Machines line was the Mega. I think it was a Mega, or is he the Jetstorm, the big Jetstorm.
Oh yeah. And you're right. That vacuum it sucked.
And Don wants us to let everybody know that his favorite was Supreme Cheetor.
Yes.
So make sure you send
him all the Supreme
Cheetors.
Yes, yes.
Send them this way.
Send them if you have a Supreme class Cheetor that is complete, please send it to Brett Lovell.
We'll take parts. I'll start piecing them together.
Yes. We'll be happy to. If you want to unload it for cheap.
Listen, Sarah McLachlan talks about the abandoned pets. I'm going to talk about the abandoned Supreme Class Cheetors that have been maimed, hurt, abandoned.
Because they're bad toys.
Just remember, there's a place for them right here. Just bring them to me. Bring them to me.
We want Supreme Class Cheetors.
And I'll send them to Don.
Funniest part is, because he's so scared of selling stuff, he'll just have these Cheetors forever.
If he gets them, that's where they'll stay. Yes.
But, you know, the Night Sword said that his Jetstorm is a flake mess. I will tell you that I love that toy, the way it looks. Whenever it's brand new, it was a sharp, sharp toy. I couldn't buy that thing fast enough whenever I first saw it in the store. And I'll be honest, I know where I'd love to have the Botcon Cyclonus that is made out of that mold. Gorgeous. But I don't want it simply because I'm afraid that it'll just start turning into a flaky mess.
Out of all the collections I have bought, the funniest thing that I have bought was one Transmetal Cheetor and one Beast Machines Jetstorm, both of which you could hold in the box sealed like a snow globe and shake. Both of them, I swear to you, both of them. So,
Goodman, just that, that thing. But, you know, I'm going to, before I step away just briefly, I want to swing it over and let's talk about probably the most successful show that helped propel the toy line.
TFYLP, right?
Well, beyond this awesome show.
Well, sure. I you're right.
Everyone knows that no one collected before us.
That's right.
But I'm going to toss this one over to Michael. Beast Wars. Honestly say Beast Wars changed the game with a great show.
Yes.
That really sold, and as you alluded to earlier, quite frankly, not the greatest toys in the world. Why? I'll be right back myself, but yeah. Let you guys talk, yeah.
All right. Okay, Mike, why?
So let's talk about a different topic.
No, I like this topic.
I think I said it earlier.
I think Duran doesn't listen.
No, what we were guys... talking about Beast Wars.
What do you guys think?
But I wanted more on it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I want more.
Oh, no, so, I mean, yeah, the Beast Wars, it did its thing because it was just fantastically written. And furthermore, like, it focused on such a small, like, cast and so much more on character that it made you, want to seek out those characters, basically. Now, why did it make me collect the rest of the line that never got characterization? I don't know. It was just because it was that good, I suppose. It made me want to imagine the other characters as, you know, how would they be in the show, right? And you got a little bit of that to an extent with IDW later on releasing Beast Wars. But it was a... Like, the only thing that made... If I go back in time, the only thing... I mean, I got my first Beast Wars toy before I saw the show. But the only thing that sold it to me at that time was that it turned into a dinosaur. It wasn't until I really started seeing the show that, that became my one focus as a kid. Like, every Christmas, every birthday, I asked for Beast Wars. And it was because of that... just love for the characters in the universe they created. I get a Transformer, or I'd get a Beast Wars figure that wasn't even in the show, but it didn't matter because it was Beast Wars.
Just like us with G1, huh?
Yeah.
I had tons of MicroMasters. None of them made it to the show. But they were cool.
Right. Right. Exactly. But, I have a little different take on Beast Wars. I look at it for twofold. One, I saw the show first when I got out of Transformers. I know, blasphemy. Oh, my God. I got out of Transformers. And I saw the show, and I was like, this is pretty good. And I watched more of it. And at the time, the first and even the second wave of Beast Wars was on the shelves, and I didn't buy any of them. I actually bought my first Beast Wars at a Goodwill, and it was Optimus Primal. Now, there is a toy that has more play value than I still will hold it up to any toy today.
I think he and Megatron from Beast Wars are probably two of the best ones.
Look at all the everything he did and everything. So I'm going to say, yes, the media helped, but those toys were damn good. If you looked at Optimus Primal, you said that's from the show. If you looked at Cheetor, if you looked at Rhinox, you looked at Rattrap, you went, those are from the toy, from the show. And I know Rattrap was a little different.
No, but I wouldn't still include Rhinox in that one, but...
I would. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I got three of them. You want one?
So I have plenty of Rhinoxes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, back more. In 19, what was it, 95?
Maybe.
I mean, they were good. They were.
They were good for the time.
Look at Scorponok. Yeah, it was a great toy.
I mean, I'll give you some of that. Primal, especially, I mean, I feel, when I got Masterpiece Primal here.
Right.
I transformed him and everything. I'm like, well, really, he's just maybe a slightly more complex version of the original. They really didn't change much.
No. They because it was so good to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in 1995. That's what I loved about it. And it, when they make a Megatron, and I'm hoping they do way more to it, but that was still a good toy. My point being is that you're getting into a toy line that, yes, the media meant a lot, but I think the toys actually stood good on their own. The only problem was they really needed the media to sell the Beast.
Yeah, then that was my real point. They had to sell the concept of it because...
Correct. I agree with you.
There are a lot of G1... There was a guy I knew for a long time on a message board that he was adamant, Beast Wars sucks, right? And so I would comment back and forth and argue with him. One day, out of the blue, he's like, I watched Beast Wars, It's awesome. And he had already started buying toys.
Yep.
And I'm like, but you hated it. And the toys were crap.
No.
Don't you know?
That's you just when needed you, something good to sell you a concept.
No, that's when you drop the mic and you go, I'm done. You did it. You converted. You converted someone who was against it into it. So,
kudos. I mean, to a lesser extent, while I don't think Armada has the same level of success, Armada is still a pretty loved TV show by a group of Transformers fans. It's a large enough group of Transformers fans that you know of them amongst the Transformers fans.
And real quick, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Lunar Fury. You said it's the crown jewel of the Hasbro universe. Explain to me what you mean. Write that. I want to hear that. I'm curious about your topic. Give me more. Go ahead, Mike.
I think they're having their own discussion.
Yep, but I'm jumping in.
Because it's interesting.
I liked it. Go ahead.
But, so Armada, to a lesser extent, like, it's not the greatest series, but it still has a large enough following that Armada has some pull, like I mentioned earlier, that pull that they had for the next Masterpiece Prime. He was like in the top three, you know, that Armada Prime. But if you look at the longevity of Minicons since Armada,
a fantastic concept.
We still get Minicons, and it's because, while, you know, the first 20 episodes of Armada was terrible, as a whole, it was received well enough that that concept stuck, and now Minicons are an almost indistinguishable part of the franchise.
Well, I didn't like the aspect about Minicons that whenever they were first introduced, they essentially were Transformers jewelry, because, I mean, if you look at the fact that, you know, you had the larger Transformers and then you just took these small Transformers and then just placed them randomly all over these toys, they were essentially jewelry for the larger toys. But if you if you took the Minicons by themselves, and I think what really drove those and makes those popular even to today is if you just take them as standalone toys for really small toys, really small Transformers, they were great.
Some of them definitely were the street race team.
I kind of like the ones that combined. Yeah. Those were pretty slick.
Like the scepter and those.
Well, the shield, the sword, the Requiem blaster. I mean, they took a unique idea where they took the individual ones and they made a combine. And I thought, you know what, that's pretty cool. So they did. Oh, and then when they made them into weapons, like a shield.
Yeah, they did that in Power Core Combiners, and I was going to actually talk about the absurd how it got kind of absurd there, because they could also transform into like chest piece armors for the guys, and I'm like, I always thought it was a funny concept that they were going to stick the little guy on their chest to absorb bullets for them.
Yeah, be my bullet shield.
You're smaller than me. Die for me.
Yeah,
I think one series, well, sub-series that really sold some bad toys was Master Force. Pretenders suck. Like, hands down, they're some of the worst G1 toys out there. You got robots doing yoga.
Yeah.
And it has a gun in this spot, so it's a jet, okay? Just believe it. But those six or seven with Metalhawk, after the show, I wanted them. I had to have them. Because they were really great characters. Whereas I look at them, and it's like, well, he's got his legs around his ears and a fan on the back of his head, and they call him a submarine.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you really turn most Transformers over, they're kind of like that. You know,
you don't have to turn them over, though.
Yeah.
His arms are just sleek. I'm not really here.
It's like learn how to do yoga, sit down on the floor and fold over and say, hey, put some wheels on me. I'm a car.
Pretty much.
Now. There are a few G1s that are like that.
I think the fire cons need a horse to come with.
Get really, flip me over.
Get really dirty here.
Mount a horse.
Get really dirty here. You're in that moment with your woman, and you look at her, and you're like, man, if she had some wheels, she'd be skull grinning.
You don't get it. Hey, Duron, ready? There you go. Transform. Okay. I'm back.
I mean, I think every series, if you try hard enough, you can find a figure in every series that is literally just lay it down.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, we can make fun of G1, the boxy, this, that, and the other. I mean, but we still love them. So, you could do that throughout the whole. If you love, oh my God, if you love Armada, you can make a good argument. I think so, but I guess you could.
You cannot make an argument
like because of X, Y, and Z.
All right. So, I mean, now let's kind of bring this all together here, and I'm going to start with Brycey on your opinion. The overall thing we've talked about examples of great series, great toys, great series, bad toy or great toys, good series or bad series. But what overall is more important, great toys or great media to support one or the other?
For me personally or for the world?
Just in general.
For the world.
Okay. I would say a combo of both. Just, you got to have something to drive the masses to actually buy the toys. For me, it has to be good toys. There's a reason I don't collect these toys, because I really don't like the smaller toys. The flip ones can flip right off into the garbage relic.
Like Pterosaur?
Hold on a second. Did you just insult the greatest gimmick to ever be birthed into the Transformers franchise?
What, that was birthed in G2.
The flip changers. Yeah, but...
You ready?
To the G2 too.
You ready? You ready? Flip!
Round one! Fight! Exactly.
Flip. There you go!
Flip changers are the best.
I broke it again.
Yeah. Go ahead. If you quit hitting the damn table, Brett.
Damn it!
Okay, Michael, what do you think is more important, great toys or great media?
I have to be on the fence of media. I think good media can sell generally bad toys if it's good. I can't think of a good example of a good toy line with bad media that's sold, and we can think of plenty of bad toy lines with good media that's sold. And so I have to give it leans more towards media than it does good toys. And I think it always will, when it comes to a series longevity. I mean, there's a reason why the majority of the collection base is G1 and Beast Wars and
movies. Well, I mean, we totally skimmed over it. I mean, we mentioned it a few times. The movies, in general, you know, love them or hate them, they sell toys. Except for Age of Extinction. Age of Extinction didn't do crap, but
he's got more plastic in that cup than most Age of Extinction toys because they're so fucking hollow.
it's like put a head on it and it's like, hey, it's an AOA toy.
Yeah. Like Revenge of the Fallen toys are still some of the best toys made.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then there was some Dark of the Moon that was really great, too.
Yeah, that Skyhammer mold was amazing.
Yeah.
I still have one of those somewhere.
Brett, what is more important, toys, great toys, or great media?
Is drink.
I bet it's...
I need my Powerade, damn it.
I bet it's got some liquor in it.
No.
No beer.
Okay. No. I think I could sum it all up in a couple things, which I wrote down right here. You look at G1. Good media, good toys, poor toys, still thumbs up. I look at Cybertron. I look at poor media, good toys, thumbs up. I look at the Energon and all that stuff, poor media, poor toys, like this. Then I look at Masterpiece, which it's just good toys. So
there, it doesn't have any current media with it.
I'm kind of leaning towards the good toy market. I really think you need to have a good toy. I think a good toy is more important than the media. And the main reason I say that is because the hype of the brand new, this is what's out, it's current, drops to below nothing as soon as that media is gone. That's my take on it.
And Masterpiece is actually gaining ground.
That is something. It's a good toy. It has It has no media.
Michael is saying once the media dies, it drops. Michael is.
This is my. Let me learn you face.
Let me learn you.
That's your what?
It's how those youngins talk nowadays, Brett.
This ought to be good because I don't believe it. But go ahead.
Just as the originator of the topic, I never put the stipulation of it being current media. And scene. I'm putting an asterisk next to masterpiece thing.
And I will go by with everything I said with that. Even in the future, what I said is true.
So sure. What you're saying, though, ultimately,
I think it's more important for the toy to be good.
Michael, so what you're saying, though, now is that Masterpiece is arguably the hottest Transformers line right now. Most collectors want Masterpiece. And there's no current media for it. So the driving force behind Masterpiece is some shitty cartoon from 30 years ago.
Yes. And those that remember it.
I disagree. I'm going to say it's also those people that look at Energon, Cybertron, everything, all the way going up. And the reason I say that is because if you look at people's collections, if they are less than 30 years old, I'd be willing to bet a lot of them still have Masterpiece in there. And it's not because they went back and looked at G1 because of G1. They looked at it because of Cybertron, Energon, and the such. But they look at it, and it's a good toy. Why would someone pay that much over this when this gives them the same pleasure? Because that's a better representation. It's a better toy.
Because this looks more like the media than that does.
It's a better toy. It's a better toy. I'm going to go with the toy aspect of it.
Great argument. Well, listeners, while we're still live here, if you're listening to the audio version of us, please let us know on our Facebook group. The topic for this episode is pinned to the top of our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Look at the pinned topic, and it will be the most current episode that is up there. We want to hear what you think. What do you think? Is it great toys or great media or both? And in your opinion, real quick, guys, I'm going to go top to bottom here on my screen. Brett, what in your opinion, not just a general opinion for as far as the world is concerned, in your opinion, is it toys or media that is more important to you, Brett?
Okay, I'm gonna give you a little bit extra, sorry. It's toys, and I'll say this because of look at all the third-party stuff. Every time something better comes out that's more articulate or more better, more looks more like the show, or I just like it. Shiny. It's a better toy. It's more shiny. I sell what I have, and I get what I want. I get the new thing. I'm done. It's a toy. Now I'm done. The toy. Now I'm done.
Brycey.
For me, the toys.
The toys sell for you.
I still have Cybertron Prime and Megatron here. I hate the show, but I got the toys because they're good.
He's crazy. I'm not fucking crazy.
And Michael, what about you? What is the driving? What is more important to you, great toys or great media?
To me,
do it.
I mean,
do it.
It's probably toys. It's probably toys.
Yeah.
So you know, and that's what I was getting at, and that's what
we
I
all
find
love
interesting.
The plastic crack.
But the thing is, that's what I'm getting at. Yes. We all see that great media sells toys, and we acknowledge that. But here we are, four different guys. And granted, we're all very much alike, but we're four different age groups. Well, relatively. Brett's in the Three. Senior citizen. Yeah, Brett's in the senior citizen.
I got more Bryce hair here, than all.
Bryce here, I are in the middle age group, and then Michael's down there with Jack Bruner, who just graduated high school. Congratulations, by the way, Jack.
I got one more year of being in my 20s. Dang it!
I got one more year of that stuff. Yeah.
Newsflash, Michael: 30 is not much different than 29.
Yeah, it sucks. Everything. I'm just telling you.
It never is.
Wait till things start hurting, and you're like, "Hey, that never hurt before." Yeah. Why is that hurting? It never hurt before.
I'd say the media draws you in, and then the toys keep you.
Well, and I was going to allude to that the media is just as important as a toy. But the media will only get you so far, and then it's the actual toys that get you to collect them or to get rid of them and get the next best thing. So, ultimately, I still think it's the toy. I really do.
For me personally, I've seen the G1 cartoon over and over and over again. I've seen it hundreds of times. Love it, and I'm very familiar with it. I love Beast Wars. I haven't seen it as much as I have G1, but I've seen it. I've seen it all. And as a collector, I'm more interested in the toys. I don't actively read the comics. I know that's a shocker. I've read some of the comics. I think some of the stories are great. And some of the things I've been hearing from the comics are fantastic. Great. Keep it going, guys. But I don't actively read the comics. I don't watch the current RID cartoon, so I'm not watching any current cartoon. The movies, the last one, Age of Extinction, I've got it on Blu-ray, and I haven't watched it all the way through since I bought it. I watched it in the theater once, all the way through. I have not.
I took the cellophane off of it and put it on my shelf.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to watch it all the way through. The first movie's good. Second movie's,
it's got good fight scenes.
Yeah, Dark of the Moon is. I kind of dig the space stuff on it, and then Age of Extinction just totally lost me. But which I was really hoping that
a whole bunch of little balls in the air and call it a transforming.
Yeah,
they were squares.
But what I'm getting at,
whatever.
What I'm getting at though is that the toys are selling the toys for me. I'm mainly a Masterpiece collector. Because I love what they're doing. I love the way they are, the way they look, the way they transform. The Titan Returns stuff is great. I don't read I don't read the comics at all, but I love the toys. I think they're great toys. So for me personally, the toys sell the toys. And there is no media involved in it at all. Because, I mean, yeah, there are bios on the backs of the Titan Returns stuff, but I don't really consider one sentence a full bio. It's, let's be real here. You know, you got great toys selling great toys. And I find it interesting that throughout this whole episode, we've been saying, you know, this series was really great, and it helped sell those toys. And we all agreed on that point. And I find it interesting that in the end, for each one of us, the toys sell the toys. And I'm wondering how many of our listeners feel the same way. You know, I was kind of hoping this episode would go this way, so that each one of us would look at it and say, "Yeah, hey, yeah, I agree with that point." And then in the end, you're like, "Hey, I'm ultimately a toy collector." How many of you listeners actively read the comics, watch the cartoons, and everything every day, and keep it fresh in your mind, and then go out and want the toys? Or how, as opposed, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who do, but as opposed to how many of you actually just buy the toys and watch the media maybe once a year? I'll be honest. I mean, there is one time a year I make it a point to drag out the 1986 movie and watch it, you know, at least once a year, sometimes two, three times a year. I love that movie.
Got such a great soundtrack.
Yeah. If anything, if it's playing in the background, just listen to the soundtrack. But how many people collect the toys just for the toys and don't care about the media? And I find it interesting that we focus on the media and we'll complain about a cartoon like we were saying earlier, the RID 2.0 series. We don't give a damn about it. I don't know anybody on this show that does. Or on this cast anyway. I'm not saying that there's nobody out there that does like it.
The only people I know that care about it are like 4 and 5 years old.
And you know, that's good because, you know, they need to be broken into the series or into the toy line somehow. And I applaud that. But as collectors, as older fans of Transformer toys, you know, we sit here and we complain, hey, this has got a terrible show. The Transformers Prime cartoon started out good and kind of got bad toward the end, you know, and then went off the deep end with Beast Hunters.
Toward the end of the first episode.
Well, it helped me for quite a little bit longer than that, but I just find it interesting how we look at it and think, hey, these toys sell the toys. Ultra Primal, he says on here, the media sells the toys for me. I used to read the comics up until they announced the whole Revolution crossover thing, and then I quit both the comics and the toys. Now, so what you're saying is that the media sells the toys, or used to sell the toys. Okay, I'm confused. Maybe I read that wrong.
Well, he's saying that because the media doesn't interest him anymore, he's out of collecting as well.
Oh.
And that's perfectly legitimate. Like, the reason I err on the side of, for me personally, is the toys. And I've been playing devil's advocate just a little bit this episode, is because I don't really give a crap about G1 Megatron, to be perfectly frank.
Shame.
This is a fantastic toy.
But when you look at that toy, do you hear G1 Megatron in your head?
I try not to.
But did you put the batteries in it and let it scream at you in Japanese? That's awesome.
No, I'm not going to go buy a watch, but I'm the type that when it comes with batteries, I immediately open it up and take them out. So, yeah.
Acid burns all over everything.
There are a lot of toys that have lights and sounds features that I can't tell you if they work or not because I took the batteries out before I even tried them.
But I think we've kind of beat it into the ground here. But I thought it was a really interesting episode. How, you know, we all agreed throughout the episode on this one pretty much same point, and then in the end, it's completely different for each one of us individually. I'm just curious as to listeners out there how you feel. Well, if you really love what we do here on TFYLP and enjoy seeing us each week, there's a little link down here at the bottom of the screen. Well, it's not a clickable link, but if you'll follow the address there, patreon.com/TFYLP, you can help us out by supporting us on Patreon. It helps keep the lights on, helps keep us upgraded, and keeps the web server going through funds, because it's not cheap, people. we've grown to the point where we need your help, and we thank everyone who continues to support us each and every month. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It is absolutely phenomenal. You are the greatest fans in the world, in my opinion. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/TFYLP. And also there is a tftalk.net page, which is basically a feed of news from the website and some occasional posts from the cast of the show. And if you want to check out more about TFYLP, check out tftalk.net or tfylp.com. Go to the same place. You can find the past episodes of TFYLP up there, news, and really cool pictures, and interact with us on there as well. Follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Guys, do you have any closing thoughts before we log off here?
Since Hasbro, or since the Hub died and they're back on Cartoon Network, bring Animated back?
Could it be a possibility that it might come back?
Probably not. But do it.
I want that season 4 with Power Master Prime and Super Megatron.
Some of the great, some of the designs that were shown that were never used were phenomenal. Love to look into that sometime.
Yep.
Brett, you look like you were getting ready to say something other, or are you just...
No, I'm just going to say I am done, and I'll be back in about a month.
About a month? I mean, we're going to have to survive. Weeks. We're going to have to be a whole month without the mini mic.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys are just going to have to make do.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do.
We're just.
I can think of a few things, but we'll say it off air.
We're just going to wither up and die. See Megamus next weekend at JoeCon. And in a couple weeks, you'll see both he and I at Pete's Robot Convention in Covington, Kentucky. We'll both be there on Saturday. Well, he'll be there the whole weekend.
Friday.
You'll be there Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
It's pretty much in your backyard anyway, so.
15 minutes away. I can't say no.
But, yeah, we'll both be there. And then you can see... Bryce, are you going to TFCon Canada?
Always.
Yeah.
So you can see Bryce and Megamus at TFCon in Canada if you're north of the border. And
have some fun up there.
See us up of course. There. Absolutely. Bring back some poutine.
That shit don't keep.
It don't keep?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Darn.
You can bring the gravy and cheese.
I tried.
And put it on your own fries,
I tried. All right,
put
guys.
Put it on the fries.
All right, we'll see you next time on TFYLP. Hope you enjoyed this live episode. Sorry we had to pre-record the last couple weeks because there were some things going on, and we just couldn't host it live. So we'll have to do that from time to time, but we try to get you out a live episode each week. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everyone.
Take care.
See you.
Later.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting. And on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.